Modelers.com.
Let's get it started in here.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border. Puppet masters for the New World Order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that, I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Oh crap, what's going on?
We've reached a new level of absurd when suddenly Weird Al Yankovic is incredibly relevant. Like that intro, that song. I mean, it's not even parody at this point in time. Did I hear it right? I know I did. This is rhetorical. Christopher Wray, in top of the hour news, Christopher Wray was upset at people who are upset about the raid on Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. That's what Christopher Wray is upset at. Oh, I'm really worried about these extremists that are upset about this raid. My good Lord in heaven. Welcome to Thursdays. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM show. My name is John Justice, that man in there, who, as always,
you're fascinating to talk to.
Producer Robbie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Double J. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm really looking forward to the show today. I'd like to say, because after primary days and pre-primary days, you know, it's just there's a lot of work that goes into it. And so today I'm really looking forward to diving into the show content, which is going to include a lot about this raid, on Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, which in my opinion, at the moment, is quickly turning into a massive miscalculation. And it is so typical of the left and Democrats to overreach. And I've said this a lot as of late, but when something is wrong, you know it's wrong because it's roundly criticized. And we're seeing that happen in the response to what the FBI and the Department of Justice did in going into Trump's home. It's coming from all sides. And there's a lot of concern right now over whether or not this is setting this new precedent, which kind of had already been set. And we'll chronicle this coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I know for many of you, this is not coming as a huge surprise. And for other individuals, it is a surprise. I think it should be a bit of a shock when this is the first time a former president has had the FBI go and raid a home, their home like this, especially under what we believe so far the rationale is, if that's all that it is. But the FBI has done this before. And I really do think at this point in time, they were under the impression that this wasn't going to end up becoming as big of a deal as it has, but it has become a big deal. This is incredibly distressing. And I'm going to change my tune a little bit. I've spent a lot of time going through the material, looking at what we know so far, and I'll reestablish and we'll get into and sort of set the stage on the raid coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. Also, Congressman Tom Tiffany will be joining us at 8 o'clock to get his thoughts on this. We have audio of Minneapolis Man Baby Mayor Mom Jeans, who I may for the rest of the day not have to give him the title and just call him Mayor Jacob Fry, because we got 3 minutes of audio. We'll play a little bit later on and you'll have a preview in Robbie's rundown coming up where Jacob Fry made a lot of sense talking about Ilhan Omar. This may be the moment where I 100% agree with almost everything in one moment in time that Mayor Jacob Fry said. And good on him. It's shocking. A host of Republicans, including Trump critic Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland, have erupted over the news of the FBI raid. And what they're saying now is that this could turn Trump into a martyr in the 2024 presidential race. And I think I know, and I think most people understand what the intent of this was. But at the same time, it's backfiring in a major, major way. And I tweeted this out yesterday. The January 6th hearing was already a sham. But in my opinion right now, any sort of argument that the left may have had in their self-righteous attempt to go and turn January 6th into something akin to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, which is just offensive. Any chance they had to do that is gone. It's gone. We've basically just leveled the playing field with this move by the DOJ and the FBI. If we're talking about sides, if we're talking about left versus right and teams and fandoms in politics, they've basically just, yeah, you've lost the argument. You didn't really have it to begin with, but now it just seems like an even bigger joke. You want to sit back and talk about, oh, the insurrection and how awful and horrible it was, and yet your side went and pulled this nonsense over what we believe at the moment, from what we see, was just National Archive documents. Oh, and apparently an anonymous informant, which we'll get into coming up at 7 o'clock this morning as well. We have some spectacular audio of Ducey and KJP, the White House press secretary, which is always a really fun listen. Let me share a little bit more from this Epic Times article. This was from, again, Trump critic. This was Governor Larry Hogan, Maryland. The American people deserve to know all the facts as soon as possible, and I call on the Biden administration to release, at a minimum, the documents authorizing the FBI search. If the federal government cannot ultimately provide overwhelming evidence that action was absolutely necessary, then it will only undermine the faith in democracy and the rule of law and further divide Americans. The Republican National Committee is now using the raid as ammunition for the 2022 midterm elections this fall. Governor Ron DeSantis, who has been viewed, obviously, as a 24 presidential candidate, came to Trump's defense as well. The raid on Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of agencies against the regime's political opponents. And it really does go and paint this whole potential who's going to run in 2024, you know, this list of individuals. It completely flips that on its head now. Now, there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go. And right now, I mean, weeks seem like lifetimes, even though time moves so fast. But at the moment, I agree with the headline of this piece. This FBI raid backfiring, this massive miscalculation, could end up being the thing that propels Trump. And you wonder if the other candidates, like your DeSantis, sit back and go, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and throw our support behind him because this just simply cannot stand. 651-989-5855. And I mentioned before I've changed my tune a little bit, and I have. And I'll talk more about this later on. But for those who had some, you know, a little bit of frustration in my commentary about FBI agents, you know what? I'm with you now. Now that I've spent some more time with this to see how this whole thing's played out, if you're an FBI agent and you were involved in all of this, you know, shame on you. I spending more time with this, I'm changing my tune on this as I've had a chance to sit on it and think about it and again get into more of the details as they've come out over the past 24 hours. If you're the FBI agent involved in one of these raids, if it really is just about what we know, yeah, shame on you at a bare minimum for being involved in this. Talkbacks are open always. Use the iHeartRadio app. Send us a 30-second message. Robbie will comb through those and play those back coming up. Plus, we do have Robbie's rundown on the way. Fauci being, he is being appropriately welcomed at a baseball game. We'll put it that way. We have some updated news on Representative John Thompson as well. And more Trump, a civil investigation in New York City. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News. On a lighter note, you have You got Amazon Prime. You watch Amazon shows?
Yes. In fact, I just signed up for it last week.
Did you?
Yes. There was something I wanted to watch on there.
So. Terminal List is fantastic.
Okay.
I've been holding on to some Terminal List, the Chris Pratt series. I've been holding on to some Terminal. It's been in the news quite a bit. It's broken some streaming records, taken some heat. Because, you know, it's conservative, people say, you know, and all this. Chris Pratt's been trolling people online.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I don't do recommendations often on the show. I don't like to, but I know the audience. Well, there's a lot of language in it. I'll just put that up front. Yeah. A lot of language, a lot of violence. Right. But, yeah, it's a really good series. On a different vein, watched Prey on Hulu, which is the latest Predator film. Holy cow, was that great. So good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It was really, really good. Yeah, I mean, like, I like the Predator movies. Like, in the original Predator, I mean, come on. Yeah, come on. You know, Arnold. Yeah. When it comes to 80s science fiction violence, it doesn't get much better than that original Predator. The other ones have been okay. I own them all on Blu-ray. The Alien versus Predator stuff I never really got into because I'm more of a purist that way. This one, though, on Hulu, I'm really... It's the best one since the original, and again, it brings it back down to its essence. Tells a very straightforward story, and it's not muddled at all. And it was great. It's set in like 17. It goes way. It's like almost like a prequel. Mm. It's set in 1719, and it's Native Americans battling the Predator, and it's got this really great storyline of this female Native American who wants to be a warrior, and this is, you know, I'm not spoiling anything, kind of how she proves her mettle. I mean, look, it's sci-fi, it's Predator, it's violent, it's bloody, don't misunderstand.
Is she an ancestor of Elizabeth Warren?
No, she's actually legitimate.
Oh, she's legitimate?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Most of the cast actually are, yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's
actually...
Fact check true.
Yeah, like actual, like real ancestry there. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, not just, you know, made up for the sake of political gain. Not that Elizabeth Warren
no,
did
she
that.
Would
no,
never do that. No, never.
No.
Nope.
Of course not. Nope. Not at all. So there you go. It's good. There's a lot of serious things we're going to be talking about today. So I thought that I totally forgot about it. My wife even enjoyed it. Wasn't sure what her expectations were. Didn't really tell her. I just said, we're going to watch this new movie. She's like, all right, whatever. I was like, yeah, it was actually pretty
good.
There
you go.
Yeah.
It's time for
what you got?
All right, let's do it. The worst first pitch you've ever seen in Seattle. Don't adjust your TV screen in Seattle. Dr. Fauci gets booed with the crowd not in the mood in Seattle. In Seattle.
Number 5.
You're going to prompt that guy to tweet again.
So, John.
You know there's one guy that tweets every single time you sing, right?
Yeah, I know that. It's my agent.
That was nice. That was good. That was impressive.
Well, Mariners fans showering Duck. Well, wait to hear the Mayor Fry one later. Mariners fans showered Dr. Anthony Fauci with booze yesterday as he prepared to throw out the first pitch. The controversial head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases threw out the first pitch between the Mariners and the Yankees at T-Mobile Park in Seattle on Tuesday. Fauci lobbed a floater to catcher Scott Service amid a shower of boos, as you just heard. Along with tossing out the ceremonial first pitch, the team also awarded the Virus Gold and Mass Zealot with their Hutch Award, created in honor of pitcher MLB Fred Hutchinson, who died of lung cancer in 1965. The award was established by his longtime friends and is given annually to an active MLB player who best exemplifies the fighting spirit and competitive desire of Hutchinson by persevering through adversity, has been giving out annually since. Fauci, an admitted baseball fan, also threw out the first pitch at the Nationals game in 2020 to much derision when it landed about 10 feet in front of him.
Oh, yeah, he has done that a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He goes to a lot of games. Actually, I know you have the audio of him being booed. We actually have audio of the moment that he actually walked out and took to the field.
Oh.
That really might be my favorite piece of audio that we play on the show. That was, and for those that don't know, that is actual. That is not even edited. That is actual audio of now President Joe Biden during the campaign walking out to a group of people.
I mean,
that still cracks me up. The
only better piece of audio during the last two campaigns was when Jeb Bush said to the crowd,
"It's true.
Please clap."
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I just, that might be my favorite. Well, next to
holy crap, what's going on?
Next up, be true to your school.
Number four.
South Washington County schools officials will go back to the drawing board after voters roundly rejected a $463 million construction bond Tuesday that would have been used to expand classroom space in nearly every school and pay for two new elementary buildings, John. With every precinct reporting Wednesday morning, nearly 66% of voters marked their ballots no.
Yes, inject the nose right into my veins. Do not give them any more money.
District officials said they returned to voters in February with a pared-down pitch as the school board considers a new 10-year facility plan in anticipation of a 2025 boundary adjustment. The district's initial pitch for the multi-million dollar bond included the controversial plan to close Newport Elementary, its most diverse school. The building's fate remains undecided. Officials previously said there would be uncertainty over the school's future if the bond measure failed. The school's construction effort would have been the largest in Minnesota state history had it been approved, eclipsing a $326 million bond approved by White Bear Lake voters in 2019, John.
Well, there ain't no fearmonger like a public school administration fearmonger, because the fearmongering don't stop, or something like that. Yeah, man, it never goes to what it's supposed to go to. And I don't know much about this beyond what Robbie just shared with you, but I know enough about when these bonding issues come up and the schools want this money, and I see, you know, it'll expand classroom space in nearly every school and pay for two new buildings, and I guarantee you there are stipulations in there for, and other things. Right? And this constant, give us more money and the education will get better, and it never, ever ever does. So good. I'm glad in this circumstance the voters were correct. Yeah, good on them for voting no on it and forcing the district to have to go and explain themselves as well. So this seems to happen more often, and it's just a surprise nowadays to actually see voters go and make the correct decision. So good on you guys. 651-989-5855. That's the phone number. Phone lines are open as we continue to move through Robbie's rundown this morning. We'll also take a look at your talkbacks from the start of the show. A few more items to get to. Omar and Fry, Spar, in a close call in Tuesday's primary. Plus, Representative John Thompson, is he going to go quietly into the night? We may have an answer next. Clock this morning. Looking forward to talking with Congressman Tom Tiffany. Going to get his thoughts on the raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. How long until we're not allowed to say raid anymore, by the way? End of the day?
Until the left cancels that word?
Yeah, it's coming. You realize that, right? That's going to be the next argument in this whole deal.
Well,
it's going to be. It wasn't a raid, guys. It's just a bunch of FBI agents going in and just looking around.
Didn't we have a raid in Revenge of the Nerds? And I'll leave you at that.
Well, there was a person that made a joke about that online yesterday because they did go through Melania Trump's wardrobe.
Oh, really? They stole my joke there.
Yeah.
Okay. I swear I didn't see it.
Yeah. I'm sure she has many a lovely garment in there.
Great garments, great movie.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, a Twin Cities man is facing felony charges for voting twice. You know, but you know, no voter fraud, big lie, something, something. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Right now, we are still working through Robbie's rundown.
All right, let's go. Next up, number three, John Thompson.
Oh.
That's okay.
Number three.
Perfect transition. John Thompson, one of our favorite people on the show, received a whopping 11% compared to challenger Liz Lee's 88.9%. to be the DFL candidate to represent District 67 in St. Paul come November. He's the gift that keeps on giving, folks.
Look, let's just be honest. We talked about this yesterday and gave this information, but yeah. it's still fun to talk
about. Yeah, it is. I mean, I can scan through this. I mean, we know the history here.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody that's tuning in for the first time or potentially just woke up from a coma, when he was first elected in August 2020, Thompson received criticism for his demeanor during a protest in Hugo, Minnesota, outside the house to Minneapolis Police Officers Federation President Bob Kroll. Following summer, questions arose as to whether or not he lived in the district he was representing after police cited Thompson for a July 2021 traffic violation in St. Paul. District 67 encompasses the Payne, Phelan, and Greater East Side neighborhoods of St. Paul, but Thompson presented a Wisconsin driver's license, according to the citation. In April 2022, St. Paul Police Chief Todd Axel accused Thompson of abusing his official position after he allegedly tried to bully police officers during a traffic stop involving a family member. According to police, officers tried to stop a woman for erratic driving and expired tabs when they smelled marijuana coming from the van, which is registered to Thompson and others. As more officers arrived, so did Thompson. "Turn ugly fast," said Axel after the incident. "It's an absolute shame that an elected official would attempt to intimidate and bully police officers. That he would misuse his official position, that officers doing their job should have to endure illegitimate claims of racism, that John Thompson is still serving in the legislature." Thompson, of course, denied the allegations, however, also refused to release the body cam footage of the event, despite police transparency being a campaign cornerstone. John Thompson, out.
So, a couple of things on this. One, that would also be Liz Collins' home as well, where that protest took place. Gives me a moment, and I'll retweet this out for those that missed it yesterday. Last week, I went down to Alpha News and recorded an interview podcast with Liz Collins, which is now available. You can go to alphanews.org. There's also a post and information available on the John Justice page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. So you can go and check it out there as well. And again, I'll retweet it out here in just a moment. I'm really pleased with the way that turned out. There was somebody, I'm trying to find the tweet thread. It made me laugh. There was somebody on Twitter yesterday that with regard to the outcome of the election was like, "Twin Cities News Talk." Oh, here it is. I found it. Let me see if I can get the exact word. Here you go. So, Lefto Center on Twitter. They tweeted, "TCNT failed, did not get out the vote." Cracks me up when liberals don't understand how this works on the show and like what we're, you know, what our job and role here is. It's not to get people elected. I know that's what they think, but that's not. I'm just here to entertain. You believe or don't believe whatever you want about the words that come out of my mouth on this show. That is on you. But the goal of this show is not to go and get individuals elected. And it's such an interesting little snapshot into the mind of a liberal that they think that's the only purpose that you serve, when it's just simply not the case. Of course, we talk to candidates. Of course, we try to inform individuals. Of course, we try to point to ways that you can go and make a difference and make a change. But it's up to you. And that's the part that they don't get. Because they're so used to wanting to be controlled. They don't want to have to make decisions in their life. They want the government to go and make decisions and cater to them and coddle them. They don't understand that. Yeah, we do all those things. And that may be the impression that you get. But at the end of the day, it's up to the person listening to decide what to do with what we're, you know, putting out here on the air. So back to John Thompson. He did a post on social media. We asked the question yesterday, you know, is he going to go anywhere? And he did post on social media, "Unmuzzled, let's go." That's awesome. That's fantastic. And it's going to be news to a lot of you listening right now, because you can rest assured that this isn't going anywhere.
We've all seen him yelling in a megaphone, but he don't have a lot to say about his Wisconsin license. He'll just say these three words like he says to his girls, "You gotta kiss the tip. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't look now, his pants are on the ground, he's saying, kiss the tip. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, my oh my, this guy ain't too shy to tell you, kiss the tip."
Now, I don't have full confirmation on this. I just this is just what I've heard, that when you ring the doorbell at Bob Kroll's home, that's actually what plays. Wow. Again, I haven't done it myself to know for sure, but that's just, you know, when you walk up and then you push the little button and it's, you know, that's exactly what. Yeah, just again, unconfirmed. Just speculation at this point.
Next up, Mayor Fry, dry your crying eyes. How can I explain the pain you feel inside? Because Ilhan won in district number 5, but she almost lost and no one knows just why. What have we become? Just look what we have done. All that you've destroyed, you must build again. When the liberals cry, let them know we tried.
Number 2.
Okay, now not only has that guy tweeted, but Chad just texted
me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I went over my white lion budget for the week. Things are not good between you and I. Things are not good between Chad and I. Things are not good between Jacob Fry and Ilhan Omar.
I'll share this with you a little bit later on.
Omar survived Tuesday night's primary by 2,500 votes over former Minneapolis City Council member Don Samuels, whom Fry endorsed. But the sparring continued after the votes were counted when Fry said the results should serve as a wake-up call to Omar. Fry saved his most vocal criticism of Omar until after the votes had been cast in Tuesday's primary. He endorsed Samuels last Thursday in a written statement, and the two held one event together before the primary. Wait a second, Congressman Omar is telling us that we need to be providing adequate safety, Fry said in an interview. This is the person who literally called out to defund and get rid of the police. This is the person who said defunding police was a policy decision and doubled down on it again and again and again. I heard it firsthand repeatedly. A day later, Omar fired back in a tweet. Our incompetent mayor gets upset when we talk about his failures, but as the mayor, he is solely in charge of our city, its police, and public safety, Omar said. No matter how much media covers for him, people know our city is suffering because of his poor leadership and childish behavior. So Omar and Mayor Jacob Fry, Ilhan Omar and Mayor Jacob Fry, are at odds right now, John. Well, not right now, but always.
Look, good on Fry. Call it as I see it. And got to thank a friend of the show from Powerline, Scott Johnson. I hadn't seen this. There was an interview, and we're going to play the interview for you in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, to the quotes that Robbie just shared with you a moment ago. But, you know, Jacob Fry is 100% correct in his comments about Representative Ilhan Omar. And I don't know what it means for the future of Mayor Jacob Fry. You know, perhaps he's growing a little bit. Perhaps it's just the fact that Representative Ilhan Omar is just that bad. You can even take, you know, Bobby Newport and put him in a position to make a relevant and cogent statement. But I'll say it. Call it as I see it. Good on Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry. And for the time being and this morning, I won't do the fuller title.
Okay.
Just for today. We'll see if he keeps it up. Maybe this is how we get him to come to the good side. We drop the moniker.
And finally, at number one, he took the 5th.
Number 1.
Former President Donald Trump invoked his 5th Amendment protection against self-incrimination as he testified under oath Wednesday in the New York Attorney General's long-running civil investigation into his business dealings. About an hour after arriving at Attorney General Letitia James' Manhattan offices, Trump announced that he declined to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the U.S. Constitution. Quote, I once asked, if you're innocent, why are you taking the 5th Amendment? Now I know the answer to that question, the statement said. When your family, your company, and all the people in your orbit have become the targets of unfounded, politically motivated witch hunt supported by lawyers, prosecutors, and the fake news media, you have no choice. During more than 6 hours at the office building, Trump used Truth Social, the social media platform he founded, to review the decor, very plush, beautiful, and expensive, and to suggest the attorney general was squandering time investigating him instead of attending to crime in New York. James' office declined to detail the interview beyond saying that she personally took part in the deposition. Now, one of Trump's lawyers, Ronald Fischetti, told the New York Times the former president answered one question about his name, read a statement into the record in which he questioned James' motives, then invoked the 5th Amendment. Trump said the same answer to every question he was asked over several hours, Fischetti said.
John Hinderrocker in Powerline's got a fantastic write-up on Powerline blog with regard to this particular story. First off, good on former President Trump for clarifying the whole his prior, you're guilty if you go and take the fifth, and then explaining himself. You're allowed to go and shift a position. And good on him for doing what is so unlikely nowadays in politics, especially when you look at the Biden administration, of just admitting, hey, you know what? Now that I'm experiencing for myself, I'm changing my tune on this, rather than dodging it, rather than spinning it. I really appreciate it. Again, him saying, I once asked, if you're innocent, why are you taking the fifth? Now I know the answer. Right? If there was any question in my mind of the raid of my Mar-a-Lago home on Monday by the FBI just 2 days prior to this deposition wiped out any uncertainty, I have absolutely no choice because the current administration and many prosecutors in this country have lost all moral and ethical bounds of decency. So good on him for just being honest. You're allowed to do that. And it's scarce in politics these days. It's almost completely absent coming from the left. It's absent coming from this administration. How many different times have they had to walk back nonsense that President Joe Biden has said? John Hinderacher goes on to say, Trump makes a good case as to why he should not cooperate with the James witch hunt. Nevertheless, the question, why would you plead the fifth if you're innocent, is an obvious one to which in many minds there is no good answer. No doubt this will be added to the left's litany of Trump's many real and imagined transgressions, writes John Hinderacher. At this point, though, opinions on Trump are so ingrained that there isn't much room for perceptions to shift. But perhaps Trump's invocation of his right not to incriminate himself will contribute to the heavy weight of baggage that will cause many to think that he's not the GOP's best candidate. I actually think it goes the other way. And this goes back to what we were talking about when the show started, about the potential that this FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago could have to turn Trump into a martyr. I think for individuals that potentially were looking at other candidates because they support Trump, but they don't want the baggage that could potentially come along with it. I think that this situation that the DOJ, the FBI, and the left has created can create a scenario in the minds of those particular individuals that may have wanted to shift over to a DeSantis because of Trump baggage and go, no, you know, I like what Trump stands for. I like what he did when he was in office. The only reason I was considering something else is because there is a lot of weight and baggage attached to them, manufactured by the left. But in light of what's happened here, I can absolutely see that shift pointing back towards Trump. If at a bare minimum to send a message here in America that we will not tolerate becoming like a third world country police state. 651-989-5855. That's the phone number if you want to comment at any point throughout the show. We do have some talkbacks that we're going to get to coming up in just a moment. Plus, we'll take a few minutes and review any new ones that may have come in. We have audio we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday of Nancy Pelosi being an idiot. Oh, speaking of walking it back, by the way, they walked this one back, too. We'll play that for you on the way. Why Hillary Clinton is as smug, egotistical, and a big elitist as she has always been. Plus, informant fed the FBI information used to get the warrant for Trump raid. We'll dive into all of it next.